Bible, turn to the book of Numbers, please.
Numbers chapter 1. Brother Melvin, how about you reading the first three verses loud and clear, please?
Number one.
Yeah, beginning in verse 1, 2, and 3.
The word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, God said, take ye the sum of all the congregation of children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poll, from 20 years old and up, and all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies."
Amen. I just wonder, has anybody in here got something they'd like to say for God this morning before we get going? You just want to praise God for something?
Glory.
Amen. Anybody else got something you just want to say for God?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, we come together sometimes, and we don't even really give the Holy Spirit a chance to work, I'm afraid. I mean, I'm sure there's people in here, you've had blessings this week, things that you could share with us, could encourage one another. Anybody got some? Yes, sir.
I thank the Lord for letting us go out Thursday night.
Amen.
We met some just sweet people.
Amen.
And the Lord just kept us safe. And we had seen two that accepted the Lord.
Yes. Kept us safe. Hey, praise God.
I challenge the one that when she got to church today, that she would tell her preacher that she got saved.
Amen.
And I challenge her, and I'm going to go back and see her to see
Amen.
If she really followed up on
this. Yeah, always. Always.
And I try to encourage all that get saved to grow.
Yeah.
I just thank the Lord for His goodness.
Take her some feed along with you, too, man. Give her some encouragement, something to think about, something read, encourage your heart. Anybody else?
Fancy brought me this tonight.
Amen.
He really assisted me and helped me. And all of those people that missed it, I feel for them because they need to get that recording and listen to it.
Amen.
He did a great job on discipleship.
Amen. We certainly need to do. That's what Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Make disciples. Learn. And I pray that's where we fail oftentimes. Of course, we get to the point where we're failing, you know, on getting out and making converts.
Really?
You know? But I do realize that, you know, that definitely discipleship is something that our churches have failed with over the years. Anybody else got something you want to say before we get started?
Heart-filling whenever you go
Be honest, ain't, don't you oftentimes feel like you get more of a blessing out of that than the people you're going to see?
Yeah.
I mean, I tell them at the nursing home all the time. I said, hey, I come over here trying to be a blessing to you. I said, but I'm the one that's getting, you know, getting blessed and fed.
Amen.
Well, anybody else?
I'd like to thank God for all the, you know, I pass on track every week and everything and talk to a lot of people through Crossfield, through sales and things, there's house and everything. I don't, I do pass out gospel light tracts, but,
yes.
But they're not a gospel light church, be in any church. Just love Jesus and go to church. And I thank him, you know, for the response I get from him a lot of times. I get blessings, as you say. You always feel more blessed after you get done talking about him, what you give him.
Amen.
The old devil's there telling you don't do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, I don't want to cut nobody off. Anybody else? All right. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 1. Brother Rick, would you read those three verses for us again? Loud and clear, please.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their families, with the number of their names, every male by their poles. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou, Aaron, shall number them by their armies.
All right. I told you we were going to get back started in this, going back over this about warfare. And I'm going to tell you what, over the last couple of months, I feel like I've been in the heat of the fight. Every time it seemed like I tried to take a step forward, I felt like I was getting knocked backwards. And we got three principal enemies. They never change. They're the same ones all the time. And the biggest one that I face every day, of course, is myself. And it's the biggest one we each face. You can't get away from him. No matter where you go, there you are, you know. And you can't run from him. All you can do is yield yourself to the Spirit of God. He's the only one who is able to overcome our old, sorry, no-account flesh. Because that's all we are apart from him. That new man is Christ in us and us yielding to him. You know, us by our soul is yielded up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can make a difference. And so we're in this war, and there's no, according to the scriptures, guess what? There's no getting out. There ain't no, it ain't like, you know, you fought World War II, buddy, and you know, and, okay, they surrendered, you know, you had a stay of occupation, but the majority of the people did what? They come home, you know, and war was over, and they went back, you know, and they started raising families, this, that, and the other thing. But there is, in this war, there's no getting out. It's every day. Until the Lord Jesus Christ and puts that enemy down under his feet for the final time. And we know that day's coming, but it's not now. And so we need to study war. And again, I want us to notice in verses 3, it says, from 20 years old and upward. That doesn't mean that everybody that was 20 years old and upward. No. It means everybody 20 years old and upward that were able to go forth to war. And I'm afraid that, you know, again, many times, us in the church, or a lot of us are not equipped, you know, for warfare. And we gotta have the equipment. And what is that? Where are we gonna find that equipment? We're gonna find it from God the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can equip us. With that thought, I want you to take your Bibles. We're not going to teach it through like we did exactly on the other, but I did want to start out there show you we're going to be looking at, you know, being able to go forth to war. Won't you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And that's all, we're going to stay in the book of Acts for a little while. You say, why, what in the world has the book of Acts got to do with warfare? Right off the bat, buddy, war started. I mean, from the moment the Spirit of God came, buddy, invasion started. You know, the disciples of Christ began to invade this world. And we know who the God of this world is. Now, you think he took that lightly? You think he said, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, I mean, you're saved and you're in there and you're trying to, you know, to steal all my youngins and convert them and bring them into, you know, under God and who I've rebelled against and got them to rebel against. And I'm, that's okay. I ain't going to worry about it. Just do your thing. I'll still have a pile of them left. No. He retaliates. He fights back. But I always want you to remember this. Whatever the devil is able to do to us, it is for our good and to God's glory. It's for our good and to God's glory. I like to remind the devil all the time, you are God's servant. He's God's left hand. And he uses him to strengthen us, empower us, hey, get us to look at ourselves and see our dependency on the Lord. Because as he told old Job, he said, go ahead, lay your hand on him. Oh, Leviathan, come on, put your hand on that old red dragon. Lay your hand on him. He said, remember the battle. Remember the battle. Mm-hmm. He said, you're no match for him. If we're no match for him, you know, no hand joining hand, nobody will overcome God. So what do? We just trust in him. Trust and obey, and buddy, you'll be happy today. Amen? Yeah, trust and obey, and I promise you, you'll be happy today. You'll just trust and obey God. You'll be happy in the fact that you were obedient to the things you know to be true. In Acts chapter 1, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. Notice this. After that he, notice this next phrase, through the Holy Ghost. Everything that Jesus ever did, taught, was always through the Holy Ghost. You say, why was he not able? He's our teacher. He took on the form of a man. He lived life like a man. That's the reason why Jesus could tell the apostles. He said, and the things I've done, you will do also. And he said, in greater things shall you do than I have done. That amazes me to think that. And Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. Yes, sir. A lot of people, you know, they'll tell you, you know, what Jesus could have done. They'll say, boy, he could if he'd wanted to. He could have just spoken and just wiped them out. No, he could. He could. He could only do the will of God. That's right. And he didn't make that decision. He yielded himself to the Spirit of God. And right off the bat, we are showing right here, is notice this. He didn't speak what he had to say. He spoke what God the Father had to say through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he says, to whom he showed, okay, that into the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, who had chosen? Yeah, God chose them through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he used Jesus. Jesus was that yielded instrument. Where the Holy Spirit said, go this way, he went that way. Holy Spirit said, go that way, he went that way. Holy Spirit said, sit down, he sat down. Holy Spirit said, speak, he spoke. He said, shut up, don't say nothing. And he always yielded himself to the person of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit. And because he did this, God honored him, gave him a name above every name.
Amen.
Amen. As he yielded himself and the Holy Spirit, he was Holy Spirit guided, driven. He only did those things. That's your spirit. And you know what? That's my problem. If there's any problems in this room today, you know what it is? We're doing it ourselves. So that's the only thing. I wonder how many churches, I mean, be honest. How many of our churches are not spirit driven? They're institutionally driven. They're traditionally driven. They're driven by anything and everything you can imagine. I'm talking about churches that say they're Bible believing churches.
Yes, sir.
I think about Bobby Robertson. If he passes, has he prepared them? Are they prepared for the fact that he's going to be gone? Will that church go on and do what it needs to do? Will it start to collapse like so many of them have done? If the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. I pray things go well. I pray something, you know, that things have been prepared. And because, you know, if it hasn't, it get rough. Just like when y'all seen it before, man die, he ain't made no preparations for it, and his family's left with his big old load. And if they ain't careful, all of them start fussing over this and fussing over that. Should we do this? Should we do that? Let's go ahead and tell them what they want to do with your body and your stuff before you go. Amen? Get it laid out there. Get prepared. I'm going to tell you something. As far as ministry, Paul tried to take care of some things before he went. He wrote letters. He told people what was going to come about. He gave them admonition. He showed them. And Jesus is doing the same thing right here. He's giving them instructions. He knew what was coming on. He told them. And he gave them instructions. And here's what he said. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now this is interesting. He used that phrase there, kingdom of God. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven. The king was leaving. He was going to bring the kingdom of heaven back with him. But he began to teach them on the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is where? Within you. And he's teaching them how they are to what? Be yielded the same way he was. Now, we are too independent. But independent Baptists, I'm afraid, are too independent. Instead of being a body, oftentimes we're a bunch of little germs running around church, got our own individual agenda, thought, plan, and future. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I might not be nothing but a toenail, but I'm protecting that toe. You know what I'm saying? And we are to work and move as one.
Yes, sir.
And the only way that can happen is we decide, hey, it is not my place to come to church to have somebody teach me something from a book that I already know, or hear some man preach to me some things that I already know, and say, bless me. But you know, the fact of it is, what God has wanted is some people to take what they've been instructed to do and take it and give it to people.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Help them. Edify them. Build up the body. minister to one another, encourage one another, help one another, pray for one another, get involved with one another. Probably wouldn't hurt for some of us to start breaking bread together a little more often. Huh? Visit one another once in a while. Hey, say somebody, hey, Brother Rick, what do you think about having a college prayer meeting and maybe coming up here and inviting some of the neighbors around? You know what I'm saying?
Used to.
Yeah, trying to make some difference. I guess that's something that used to stuff, isn't it? You know, and I get them in your church. That ain't the point. We're not trying to get people here. We're trying to get God here. Amen. That's right. And up there. It ain't about building some kind of little kingdom right here. It ain't about. See, this building and this place is not the church. We're the church. Brother Rick, no matter where you at in ministry, you're at this point, you're part of this local assembly. Yes, sir. And we need to be more in tune with that fact that we have a responsibility to one another, because in ministering to one another, we're ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to do. We're to minister to Him as He ministers to us. If we do the least thing that we can do, it'll not be forgotten. It's God's plan. But no, He said, in being assembled together with Him, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. He said, I know, I'm giving you some instructions right now, and guess what? The average sermon, if you remember 3% of it, you're doing pretty good. Ain't that pitiful? I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because we ain't living. Huh? Come on. Maybe it's because we ain't living it. What if we sat in here and when somebody was giving forth the gospel, we began to, hey man, that's something that ain't in my life right now. Write it down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray about it. That's something I'm gonna try and do something about that with your help, oh Lord. Amen. Tell you something else. Another thing that helped too is to get involved in the service. But if you got something to say for God, don't sit there and don't say it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't keep it bottled up. If you got something to say for God, stand up. If I got something that God wants people to hear. Get involved. Be involved in your service. Amen? We got pretty good liberty here. Now, you don't get that in a lot of churches. They'll shut you down in a minute. Matter of fact, they'll escort you out the door. Some of them will. Huh? What do you mean disturbing our services? We want to keep dead quiet? Blah, blah, blah. No. It's alive. Amen. We're to be alive.
Amen.
He says right here, and it says, in being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard from me. Yep. Let's go back over to John. Well, John chapter 16. We end reading in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. That word expedient means completely necessary. Is it necessary? It's good. It's a good thing. It's a necessary thing. It's an important thing for you that I go away. You know why? Because if he had stayed here, they'd have been the same. They've been sitting there always doting on him.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, you know, doing this all the time. Let him do everything. He's instructed them now, and he says, now go do it. Mm-hmm. Huh? If Jesus expected that, why should we expect anything less of ourselves? The man of God, it stands up, whatever man of God it is, and that's you, stands up and gives an admonition from God, what are we to do? We're to take it in and do it. I pretty well ain't remembering a whole lot. Because we ain't doing it a whole lot. I really believe that. But he says, it's expedient, necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now ask yourself this. When a person watches us, watches this church body, let's get away from the individual. Let's talk about a church body right now, okay? When people look at this church body, does it reprove them of sin? People that knows about this church, does it make them a little uncomfortable? It should. It should cause them to see that there's something different. If we're no more than those that big crowd over on Old Concord Road, you know, the Jehovah's False Witnesses, it's over there. Huh? If we ain't got no more than that, it's sad when a lot of people look at them and see more, how should I say, consistency than they do in a vibrant, living, spirit-filled church. Well, maybe we're not spirit-filled. Mm. Now, they say, you're going to get all Pentecostal on me, ain't you? If it would help, I would. But it won't. The spirit filled is to be filled with His Spirit. If you take that book and the commandments is in there for the church, those admonitions, those instructions, that doctrine that God has given us, because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, and you want to see people get life, you get them the Word of God. You fill yourself with the Word of God. You take time not just to read it, but to study it. You take not time not only just to read it and then study it, but then do what with it?
Use it.
Huh? Use it, amen. Put it into use. It's a tool. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no reason nobody here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's no reason for anybody in this room to blame the preacher that they're not growing.
True.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You give yourself to the study and obedience to the Word of God. Hey, believe it or not, God can show you more and equip you more even than your pastor. And he will be admonished and encouraged, and you can build him up.
Yes, sir.
We're not under a leash. A pastor wife. She don't have us on a leash to tell us what to do. He's here as a man that God has put a burden on him to preach and teach the doctrines of this Bible.
Amen.
And we don't, you know what? We're supposed to have that same thing. He said, get on us. There should be a desire for it. Take the Word of God, take it in, ingest it, and carry it out there and give it to somebody else. Amen.
Yes.
Down on the workplace. As I said in a Connors prayer meeting, it would behoove a lot of us to start inviting people just come to our home. I like to sit down and feed you a meal and talk to them about the things of God. You ain't got to preach them a message. You just got to sit there and live it in front of them and tell them how much Christ means to you. Girl I work with and praying for, I spoke to her after she was attending church anywhere. She's from Maryland. She said, well, I'm not religious. I said, well, good, neither am I. Well, I didn't know what she meant. But I told her, I said, you know what? Guess what? You're going to die one day. And it would behoove you to look into the claims of Jesus. I'm looking for another opportunity. We've got Christmas coming up. I usually get called on to pray, and I usually pray the gospel.
Oh, yes.
I thank God for them, for every person there. And I ask God to help them and bless them, watch over them over the year. And if they don't know Him, to make Himself known to Him in a very real way. Try to let people know every day. It's good stuff. I see them because they believe not on me. I want you to note that right there. When He has come, He will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment come. Of sin, because they cuss. Of sin, because they lie. Of sin, because they steal. Of sin, because they fornicate. Of sin, because, hey, because they're sodomites. Of sin, what did it say? Sin, because they believe not on me. He died for all the rest of that mess. He paid the full penalty, took the full debt. It's gone. It's gone. He said, well, it's gone for us. Believe it. No, it's gone. Period. He took away initial sin. And what everybody's going to give account of is what they did with Jesus Christ. And you keep keeping up that memory of their sinfulness, you ain't helping them. And you're not helping them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell them what sin has done to this world, and you tell them what He did to recover this world from sin. So the goodness of God will lead a man unto repentance. They'll be thankful, amen. Sit there and just heap up their sin in front of them. Boy, if you don't get it right, buddy, you're going to bust hell wide open. And you know what you end up doing? Well, God, you know, I tried to do right before and I can't and I mess up all the time. And then they'll start blaming God for it. You mark her down. But you let them know that Jesus Christ has already taken that out of the way and that's no excuse. Then there's only one thing they're going to give an account for. It's what they do with Jesus. What we do with Jesus Christ. Turn back over to the book of Acts. I'm done. After this. Being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, he said, this is not something that God has given you to know. If you knew exactly when it was, you know what most people would do? Well, I don't have to worry about it now. Just sit back. It's coming. You know, I probably won't even be alive then, you know, but we got plenty of time. Ain't no be worrying about it. You thinking it might be tomorrow. You're going to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. hope in them purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When you're truly looking for him, you know what I mean? Or step out on that cloud and say, come up hither, and you want to meet with him. And, buddy, if you thought it was today, well, we'd be getting a lot of things. Hey, we'd be getting a lot of things squared away, would we not? So, I mean, a lot of us is living in unbelief, aren't we? Because we're not getting things squared away a lot of times. Oh, we believe it. But it's out there under some words. It's not today. And then he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Enablement. Think that right there. Enablement. He went out there and said, number them that are able to go forth to war. And who's the ones that are able? It's those that have received power with the Holy Spirit. Those that are yielded. And when he has spoken to end, he said, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Get on with it. Get on with it. Here it goes again. He's going up. Well, what do we do now? Takes two angels, get up in their face and say, come on, boys, he told you what, now get on with it, amen? He told you what to do, now get on with it. And so what do they do? They set, and it says right here, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had come in, they went up into another room. And there abode both Peter, and James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, now look, they're praying. Now I like this next part. When we truly begin to pray for that enablement, God is going to give you some illumination. Because you look at the next portion of Scripture, they were saying, oh God, help us. Show us what to do, how to do. And then what happens? While they're praying, Peter all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, remember, he ain't come in him, he's come upon him. You know what he says? Remember. And Peter stands up and says, whoa. God wants there to be 12 of us apostles. There's only 11 right now. Some people try to say that Paul was meant to be that fool only. He had a different ministry.
Oh, yes,
he needed 12 of each of the household and the tribe of Israel for standing for each of those to go out and finish up that preaching of the kingdom of heaven. Because he's going to give him one last opportunity. While Peter, he didn't understand Paul. He said, well, hard to be understood. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God gave him a different ministry. And so, but while he's sitting there waiting and praying, and I'm going to tell you this, this precept travels throughout the Bible. If you really want to know what God wants you to do, God will show you.
Yes, sir.
If you're just playing church, forget it. You can talk about praying and asking God for this, that, and the other thing, but if you ain't really wanting it, and not really willing to do then what God tells you, what do you think He'll tell you? I'll tell you something else, too. You pray for somebody, God, to meet somebody's need, you better be willing to say, God, you want me to do it? Use me. You want to pray about a need being met? Boy, that could be something. Start praying about a foreign field, something that you know needs. They need ministers there. They need somebody to go. Like out west, in this country?
Yes, sir.
I can take you down east. There ain't hardly anything down there except for. Am I right, Brother Rick?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Nothing but emotionalism.
Yes, sir.
All kinds of stuff like that. No Bible doctrine, no solid foundation. Need for it. Foreign countries. Get to praying. God might show you what needs to be done. So what do they do? We'll start off there next week. Being equipped. Being empowered. Being enabled. To fight this war. And it's a war. You get any